pray, Heavenly Father, in quietness of spirit. We trust very quietness of spirit, Lord, and composure in our souls this morning. We approach you, O God, for your help. Sincerely, Lord, we ask you to take us through this portion of the message that Brother Branham preached in order that we might gain the great good, Lord, that he was setting forth before the people in that hour. He wanted so desperately to see them helped. Lord, we also want that help today, too. And without you, Lord, we know that we cannot get it without you enlightening us, without you creating or enlightening that spark within us, O God, that little seed that's there, Father, and illuminating our minds and helping us shut those channels up, Lord, so that nothing comes in except your word, giving us minds that are really pregnant with the word of God. There's and no room for anything else, Lord. That we know, Lord, that you alone can do that, and with your help it can be done. Father, if there's certain things that we must do, we just pray, Lord, that you will show them to us very clearly. A witness to us, Lord, from this message and from whatever source of other messages, Father. And then, Lord, we pray that even as Israel was crossing over into the Palestine there, that they weren't willing to go at times, but you made them willing. And we think how it was you even made the Philistines and different ones more than willing to leave the land without a blow. You sent the hornets in to rout them.
Yes,
and Lord, we know that you can send some hornets among us too.
Amen.
To sting us and to make us realize. We trust, Lord, that doesn't have to be done for you. We know even you taught your disciples to pray, lead us not into a place where sin could overcome us. So, Father, we don't want to be in a place where we have to have rebuke and those things, but we want your help this morning, Lord, to just be obedient children, obedient scholars, those that really want to receive something and then receive it, Lord. This is not too big an order, Father. This is how we must pray and what we must pray. So we're praying for your help this morning. Help us all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Continuing then this morning on the greatest battle, and this is sermon number 11. In this message, Brother Branham, that's the greatest battle, makes it very clear, as he does in all other messages that he preached, that he is indeed the fulfillment of Malachi 4, wherein Elijah must come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, just before the physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't claim that except in one place. That was in New York when he preached on Just One More Time, I think in 1964. But he refers to us so specifically, identifying himself in the Scripture, that you cannot help but understand that to be the truth. On page 27, paragraphs 3 and 4, he identifies his ministry with Elijah's. So we are not at all in doubt as to what this vindicated ministry is all about. Now, in other words, it's a ministry of restoration, bringing the Word of God and that which is pertinent to it. Now, on page 26, he has already set forth from the Scripture that God sends angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. These angels are messengers, and their messages are only and always the Word of God. These angels come from the presence of God. This does not indicate that they come down from heaven, as some would think Brother Branham might be saying, exclusively in that particular area. But actually, it was with Moses. God came down to, and Moses went from the presence of God to Israel. So God came down, presented himself to Moses. Moses was in his presence, and from that presence, he went to Israel with a message of deliverance for the people, for that hour. It wasn't for everybody. It was for that people, not Egypt. And Moses was vindicated in order for him to deliver the message with any authenticity. In fact, God even allowed Israel at that time to see his Shekinah glory. Brother Branham has shown that as God came down to Moses with a message. Even so, God has come down today in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 with a message which has been vindicated to be of God. The vindication is so perfect and so extensive that there can be no doubt that the message is correct. It's actually irrefutable because it's vindicated by God. Also, God has gone so far in proving that his servant or messenger or human angel has come from his presence that he actually allows a picture of the presence of his glory with the prophet. You see it on the wall. So that If it is not enough to see miracles to the extent that the dead are raised, this picture becomes added evidence to the mighty vindication we have already seen. On page 27, paragraphs 4 and 5, Brother Branham now gives us personal insight into how deeply he feels about the vindication that God has given to him in the picture of the angel of the Lord as to make the message irrefutable. And I want that to sink in, and we'll talk about it more. Now, as we read in paragraphs 4 and 5, and continue to paragraph 6, to not only get Brother Branham's great and deep conviction on this matter, but what it can mean to us. And this is the sobering part of the message this morning, because there is nothing here that Brother Branham has that is given to him personally, and to him alone. It is given actually for us. So, we're reading here then, which would be 1, 2, 3, paragraphs 4, 5, 6 on page 27, or the last three paragraphs actually as you read up from the bottom. And Brother Branham says, I've seen it so many times. And he's talking about Elijah breaking into visions and hearing God give him commands, which he gave openly, and God backed up those commands, or literally, thus saith the Lord. Like Elijah has been quoted by Brother Branham as saying, all this I've done at your command. Now let it, Lord, let it be known that thou art God. And at that time, it was turning the hearts of the children to the fathers. All right, I have seen it so many times, just what Elijah has said, what was in the scripture by the prophets. When you see the Spirit of God strike a place, and that place gets under the anointing. Now, he's talking about the supernatural, as was in his ministry, as was in others' ministry, as Lloyd brought out this morning concerning Paul. To say that Christ was evidently crucified amongst the people, you had to realize that Paul must have come in the power of God, as he said in 1 Thessalonians, and his ministry must have been spectacular with the display of the power of God. It was something like the time he was on the island and the snake came out, the ass came out and lodged upon his hand. And they thought that the man then should fall down dead. And he didn't fall down dead. But that wasn't just the striking part. That's a particular snake that doesn't let go just as soon as he bites. And the fact he could simply shake it off showed that this man was more than just an ordinary man. That is to say, he was a more than an ordinary man in the sense he was anointed of God. He was not more than ordinary within himself. That would be foolish to ever contemplate such a thought as that. So, he's speaking of getting in this place where the anointing is, the place where God has given him the vision and God has given him the anointing for that particular thing. And he said, if this little group in here this morning could just take this mind here and get every doubt out of the way, what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact where his mind is thoroughly oriented to the things of God, that these great visions and these things that break, which he already told us is so common to us, we literally do not have any respect for them, and people have really lost faith in them because it is too common. It has become nothing to them. Like the scripture, all ye this is nothing to you, all you that pass by. And so he wants them to know that if they could just get the sobriety and the feeling that he has about what he is giving us by way of his own personal vindication, what would happen? Then he says, how can you doubt anymore when you see the dead raised up, the lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear? Now, I'll just read this thing through, then we'll go back and talk, because there's too much in here. The angel of the Lord, even his picture hanging here in the wall, has got science stumped everywhere. What does he do? Stay right with the word. Amen. It cuts every devil. Yes, it does. What is it? The ministering spirits sent from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word that stay with the word. And confirms the word with signs following. brings Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, there he is. How could we doubt when he's been proven scientifically, materially, spiritually, every way that can be proved? He's proved to be here. What's the matter? It's our minds. Now, we're going to go over this, and when we go over it, I want you to try to think with me and get into an atmosphere of what this meant to Brother Branham. Now, that does not mean to you and me what it means to Brother Branham. And yet it can. This actually happened. He saw that pillar of fire hundreds of times. He saw the angel of the Lord, which was a great tall man, about 6 foot, 200 and some pounds, shoulder length hair, dark visage. How many times, I don't know. I think at least on two occasions, if not more. The man who wrote a book and is published up here in Michigan is a barefaced liar who will burn in the lake of fire for his lies that he told that Brother Branham had this angel with him all the time and drove him crazy. I was with Brother Branham more than that man ever thought of being a Brother Branham. Now, I speak hard, and I am harsh.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, I have no regrets.
Praise God.
That I condemn these things that these men have done. Because he knows better. He's a liar, and he knows it, the same as Bob Tom was from South Africa. Now, I didn't mean to get hard this morning, try to keep myself right down. Don't think the devil's tricking me. But I want you to know something. You could blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and you're finished, finished, finished. Just call that the devil or laugh at it. And they're doing it all over the place. Now, either this is real or it's not real. We are here just playing patty cake. And you're a nice audience, and I thank you for your offering a generous and tithing. And I'm living high on the hog by it. That's great. Just keep it up. That's not the answer. It never was, and that's not my attitude. We are not sincere enough concerning what has gone on.
Amen.
We are not sincere enough about what is going on.
Right.
Now, William Branham was. Now, to inculcate the atmosphere is going to mean everything. Going to mean everything. The mind will do its best to take us away from it, because the mind is the enemy of God.
That's right.
Now, let's understand this. Your mind is not what you think it is. It is only your friend and the friend of God if you let the Word completely usurp and become sovereign in your mind over everything else. Otherwise, it is an enemy.
Amen.
All right. He said, I've seen it so many times. Exactly what Elijah, exactly what Moses, exactly what Paul, and we know Christ in the same area, only far, far greater. Seen it so many times. Now listen, when you see the Spirit of God strike a place, and he said, in my public ministry you have manifested it. But you're not getting under the anointing of it. Now the anointing, the greatest anointing in the world, is the teaching power of the Holy Ghost. That's when you're really getting anointed. Not when you're feeling and jumping and having a great time. That's Pentecostal. You may have the greatest anointing in your life under the greatest duress when you suddenly got to stop and say, oh God, and get very quiet. Trying. If this little group in here this morning could just take this mind here, get everything out of the way. What mind we're looking at? The mind that is becoming saturated, like Brother Branham's, with the absolute knowledge of the infallible God with an infallible Word in this very fallible hour. See? All right. How much faith do we have in this? Are we alive to the return ministry of Christ via His presence by the Holy Spirit? Do we in turn believe, Brother Branham, according to Matthew 4, which I bypass in favor of Matthew 12, because Matthew 12 is much better. And verse 15. Now remember that Jesus went forth and he healed the sick and the afflicted and the maimed. And when the Pharisees saw it in verse 14, they held counsel against him, they might destroy him. And charged them that and when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. When did he ever show judgment to the Gentiles? He didn't until he started with the Apostle Paul. But he never pronounced the judgment as John the Baptist said he will do when he fans in his hand and thoroughly purges floor and gather the wheat in the garner, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire. Now you know that God has to have a judgment before he can do that.
Amen.
So there's the judge. When is he doing it? It says he shall not strive. When did Jesus in the flesh not strive? He booted them plumb out of the temple, whipped them with the cords, and was ready for a fist fight.
Amen.
He was ready for a knockdown if it had to be, and he did it. Come on, don't be ignorant. Don't try to get your own thinking here. Let your thinking go and get it with the Word of God this morning.
Amen.
This is not talking about Christ in human flesh.
Amen.
Because he did strive. When did he not lift his voice in the streets? Read or read John 7:37-39. And you'll find in the great day of the feast, he lift up his voice and he cried with a loud voice. If any man thirst, let him come into me and drink. He cried out. His voice was heard in the streets. The bruised reed shall he not break. He didn't break the bruised reed. He certainly did. He took it out of commission entirely. The smoking flax, he certainly did. It's dead. Only the bruised reed he doesn't break for you and me. Revelation chapter 3, 14-21. The smoking flax, he doesn't pull out. He said, I could do it, I won't do it. He comes and trims it. Lamp trimming time, as Brother Van said. And brought the light. How many are 100% sure this has taken place? I am in the light.
Amen.
Well, you better be, or don't say amen. You better get to the place. I'm not asking you to shut all the louder. Be very careful. Now, I'm not fooling this morning. You may be, but I am not.
Amen.
I want to caution you. We are not sold on this enough, my brother, sister, that Christ has done this in our day. It is God himself. We're still parroting. We're still talking. We are not like the prophet. Now, we are not going to be prophets. But we better get like the prophet. We're not half sincere enough in this understanding that this has taken place in our day and is taking place. And it's easy to understand by our conversation, by our attitudes. It's got to go much deeper than twice a week, Sunday and Wednesdays, and the third time, whatever. Do we really see it? Is it as important to us as it was to Brother Branham? Now, it better be.
Amen.
Because he's not just bringing us a message and saying, oh, hear this lovely word, and you believe it. Isn't it nice that you know something different from somebody else? That's ridiculous. Has nothing to do with it. Is it pertinent? Is it relevant? What is it going to do for us? See? Is it living word? Can we identify with his faith? With his faith? Now, the difficulty of people receiving Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, of which Brother Branham is so convinced and so absolutely perfect in his heart and mind with, aligned with, is because there is this difficulty that comes because the revelation that Brother Branham brought us is 100% new in its stunning contradiction of what the appearing of Christ is. The appearing of Christ to the fundamentalist who cannot be right, or millions now living will never die, when the Bible says opposite.
Amen.
Now here's another place to disabuse your minds. You're sitting here with your families and all, and your loved ones. You know a lot of people. Let's understand this as it was in the days of Noah. 8 people. tree of Sodom and Gomorrah. You're looking at the end. There are very, very few going to be standing here that are going to be changed and translated. There's not many. Not big churches. You hear churches in Brazil, 2,400. I guarantee you right now, 2,400 are not going to leave Brazil in one church. 22 another. Venezuela with 1,200 or 14. Over here with 400, 300, 200, so on. I can guarantee you.
Amen.
That's far from what God's Word said as far as we know. And if we made a mistake, and more will go, praise the Lord. But we had better not get on the bandwagon of the fundamentalists with the Billy Grahams. He's a fine man of God. There's no fight with the man. The fight is with the doctrine. They're wrong. Billions are going to die. That's what happened in the days of Noah. And the whole of Sodom and Gomorrah got wiped out. All the firstborn of Israel died. How many more we don't know. The armies were decimated. They were gone. So, there is a wrong understanding of the appearing. The appearing is not the rapture. The appearing precedes the rapture, and the rapture is a part of the literal, physical, second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we meet Him immortal in the air. We're immortal, He's immortal, because He becomes personalized to us in the form of the body when that spirit that's amongst us becomes incarnated to us in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, He's looking at it here, and He's warning us, as I see it. Now He said, take this mind, which is the mind He's speaking of. I am fully convinced what has appeared to me and come to me by vindication before you and never failing. I am on target. There is no way to go. Now you don't get nasty about it. You don't get mean about it. Hypocritical, so on. And puffed up. But you realize this is it and there is no more to it. Now you got the people looking down the road. They don't even understand about the judge. I'm sure they don't understand white throne. They're not understanding because they're looking down the road. But I want to tell you, what came forth is everything and is going to put us in the rapture. Now, if what we've got already is going to put us in the rapture, then I don't care what comes forth, and there'll be, if Brother Branham comes back, he'll do something surely, and something will transpire. That's fine. But if you haven't got this, what does it matter to you? Because this is what puts you in the rapture. And part of, and Brother Branham coming back, that part is already in this. Because you see, we went through this already. How that Brother Branham determined his own resurrection based on the creation of squirrels. You see where he stood? Now, we're going to stand in that same place by the grace of God, whether you believe it or not. Because that's what we're looking at. How can you doubt, he said. How can you doubt what I'm telling you about these things? Here's the picture, and you've seen the dead raised. On two occasions, I saw the dead raised brought back to life. With Brother Branham. Cancer disappear, blind eyes. Anything you mention, you see it. I saw it. I've seen it. All right. So then, as I said last Wednesday, we do not doubt Brother Branham. But we continually doubt ourselves as to whether we really believe. Now that's no good. You've got to come to the place, question yourself, well, is there anything else I would believe? Then based on this message, is there anything else you can believe in the future? No! Because you've got to stand with Paul. Anybody, even myself coming and changing a word, I am finished. Now let me tell you, sister, brother, sister, being in the lake of fire and annihilated eventually is a far cry from being just disapproved. Paul mentioned the fact of being disapproved in one place, but he mentions the fact of being cursed by meddling with the word. How far have we come to believing this? Brother Branham's messages is literally this part of this, for this hour. Now, you'll find people who don't agree. That's where Joe Rathke got in trouble with Mr. Rosinke. That should be part of company right there. I can treat this sermon of Brother Branch just like the Bible. And I do. He better be a prophet, as far as I'm concerned. And I'd better believe him. He better have the evidence, and I better have the evidence. Because there's too much at stake. Okay, all right. We must turn the mind to reality. Which is, this is the only reality. Yeah. That is reality. Nothing else is. Hebrews chapter 12. After the great chapter of faith. We take our time, like I said. Two paragraphs, all I need to do today. Now, speaking of the time or the hour, Paul is speaking to the Hebrews concerning Moses at Mount Sinai. And he said, you are not so. You are at, come to Mount Zion, which is the city of the living God, which is the heavenly New Jerusalem, and the numerous company of angels or messengers, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. That's resurrection, first resurrection, right identified in Christ, which are written in heaven, last book of life, and to God the judge of all. Notice the judge. As you approach, here's the judge. See, my message is 100% Brother Branham's. My understanding is 100% with Brother Branham's teaching. I got no doubts. You can have all the doubts you want. He told me I could take these messages and weave them back and forth. I said, I can't do these, but you can. Amen. And I can. You can believe anything you want to believe. It's okay by me. Okay. I said before, you stick around. You can stick around for the ride. I'm glad to have you here because when I express it out of my heart, it goes back in here, comes out strong each time. There's a whole lot of strong hearing people here. Just stick around. Or get believing with it. Now listen. To God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. He that is filthy still. He that is righteous still. When? The seals are ripped off the book, and not before. Revelation 20:10. Revelation 10:4 closes the book. Revelation 20:22-10, I beg your pardon, 22:10 opens the book. And from that time on, it is no longer a sealed revelation. From that time on, you are going, you are exiting this world into the supernatural to take the tree of life and live forever. It's immortal. All right? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. There is one mediator between man and God, the man!
Amen.
Christ Jesus. Not God, man. When are you going to meet the man, brother, sister? Not down here with Neil Prince, up there. So now, you're coming to the rapture. Right?
Amen.
And to the blood of sprinkling. Moses took the blood and sprinkled the book, sprinkled the people. A complete living word and a living people. The Lamb's book of life in plain view where the prophet is saying, little bride, you didn't even do it. Complete justification. They speak of better things than the blood of Abel. The speckled bird released. We're speckled birds. Nobody likes us. Why should they? They'd be stupid. Paul said, I've been crucified in the world and the world crucified unto me. Now listen, verse 25. At this time, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. Now who's going to speak? The Lord himself shall descend him with a shout. You're approaching on a new Jerusalem, but before you see Jesus, the judge comes on the scene. And you have what? The sprinkling of the blood, where there can be no sin standard. Brother Branham said, how can you make a man a sinner when the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sin until there be no evidence of it? Scatters it plumb back, he said, well, there's nothing, the bleach of the blood of God. Back to the original elements, which is what? In Satan, not in us. There you are. Christ won't be the scapegoat any longer. Oh, yeah. Everybody thinks Christ is the scapegoat. He is the scapegoat. Satan has made Jesus the scapegoat, which he is the scapegoat. That's true. Christ is the scapegoat, but he won't be the scapegoat any longer. See? Some people try to believe, like Seventh-day Adventists, that the devil is the scapegoat. How could he have a part of salvation, Brother Brown said? No, wait. Brother Brown explained that. Now listen. If they escape not or refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn from him that speaketh, and it says, from heaven and air. But it doesn't say that. The original says, he said, if they refuse him that spake on earth, much more we, if we turn away from him from heaven. So the one that came down from heaven is Revelation 10 and 1. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now promised, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. That's telling you right here, this one's on earth. That's where the thunder's uttered, not in heaven. This is where the earth is. It's from heaven, but it's here. Because he came down, like I said in the prelude. The prophets from the presence of God, the messengers, don't go up to heaven. Heaven comes down here. God comes down. And it's not that a mighty angel cannot come down like here. In that picture. But we're talking about Brother Branham and the messengers. Alright. Yet, once more I shake not heaven, earth only, but heaven all, but heaven. And this word, and this, now, proclamation, yet once more signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, something has got to be brought to us which cannot be shaken. Now look, what's happening here? Christ came on the scene in flesh, Alpha. He stood before the wise men, he stood before everybody, and nobody could confute him. He said, which of you can confute me? Nobody could confute him. So they had the yap behind his back and bring in false witness and kill him. Now the same one comes down today, irrefutable, with the prophet. They never had the guts. They were too smart to confront him. They carried him up feet first. And that goes for the general superintendent of the assemblies of God. That goes for the archbishop in England. It goes for the pope in Rome. It goes for everybody standing before him. Because it happened more than once. But they were too smart to come. And they shouldn't come anyway. You say, Brother Bell, I don't believe that. I do. See, you and I differ. You weren't there the day he looked a hold of me for solidly one solid half minute. Just look. In a trance. And I learned then there's time to be humorous and there's time not to be humorous. You wait till I'm finished this message. You're on the spot and I'm on the spot. If you think judgment is set in, you're going to know judgment has set in. I'm not being harsh, just saying the truth. Dave said he didn't want to miss this message. He won't be harmed by being here this morning. Nor will you. I've been waiting for a long time to see something in this that I've never seen. Very simple. We're not anywhere yet. All right. Turn a mind to reality. And defy and denounce the false. That's what we got to do. Because we've seen the dead raised, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. And I refuse that anybody take my mind except William Branham. When William Branham died, there were certain men made a rush toward me. And they thought, well, good old E.B. will take him over. We'll use him as our patsy and our front man. I wasn't con Benny. I gave my services and I found they cut my throat. Where are they? One man says he's Michael, the archangel. The dark angel? Something. I didn't sell it to anybody. I have them today and I won't. I wouldn't sell it to this church. Sell it to nobody. So what if they torture Brother Vail? God's big enough. I'm not big enough, but God's big enough. You gotta sell out. A lot of criticism about that. But this. God is sneering. It's tough to put a razor to mind and circumcise the mind and the heart. It's tougher to circumcise the tongue. But when you talk this word, you've got a circumcised tongue. You have a fountain that's no longer bitter and sweet. Now it says here at this end time, we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we serve God, etc., reverence and godly fear, because our God is a consuming fire. The judge that came down here is a consuming fire. That is a consuming fire. The beautiful part is that consuming fire can consume all the dross out of our hearts by way of the mind. It's so necessary. That's why Brother Branham said the little washerwoman with three tapes was in better shape than us guys with more education. I've got far less education than you people realize. I don't have much education. I could have quit school in grade 8 and done just as well right today, except we wouldn't have the mathematics. Had the language. I've always had the language. The angel of the Lord, even his picture hanging here on the wall, has got science stumped everywhere. He just ignore it. What does he do? What did he come to do? Stay right with the word. Amen. It cuts every devil. Why does he say that? Well, that's how he cut Father Devil. If you cut the big boy, you're going to cut his kids, aren't you? If you get the big angel, aren't you going to get the little angels? Listen, if I got to the big God, I don't have any trouble with archangels and angels. They're in my hand. So how did the... What was it that cut the devil? The word cut the devil. Brother Branham categorically told us that we had the devil with through this message. He's been exposed. The devil was exposed by that man. Yet people sat in the audience and they said, well, we'll take a little of what he said. We won't take the rest. And Brother Branham could stand there and discern perfectly and tell everybody everything wrong. The minute he said about a Trinity, it's not right. They question, he said, I read your thought back. He could have called him by name. And he could have. I pardon my folks, I wish he had done it. Called me and slapped my ears around. Wasn't good for me. Wasn't good for me. You don't get hurt by God taking you to time. Working a few surplus pounds of idiocy off you, and me especially. It doesn't hurt one little bit. It's good for us. But he knew. He exposed every devil. And when there was a cancer about to leave a person, he said, oh, there's a lady over there, another cancer, and they're fighting, trying to preserve themselves because they don't want to go. You couldn't hide if you tried. What's that signify? And a picture. Sister Branham talked to my wife one day. Meet a lovely, lovely saint of God. She said, well, Sister Vim, I know that picture isn't what people say it is. But she said, knowing who it is, that's a picture of Christ. How reverent, or just how should you conduct yourself around that picture? The woman was onto something that nobody else was catching. And before she died with the same beautiful peace that Brother Branham had. I know because I saw it. I talked with her. At that time, maybe somebody else came by. I don't know if somebody else came by. But she said her questions were answered. What was the answer to her question? Who came down? Who came down? And who is the prophet? Yet most people in this message don't even really know that he came down. Or they think he's gone away. Maybe he's gone hunting. I don't like to say even things like that. That's sacrilegious. He's here, brother, sister, to raise the dead. He brought the message. That's over. That's up to you. Now, what you do with the message will mean whether the dead are going to be seen by you, and you are going to be changed. Because if one is true, the other is true, because the whole thing is the message which is vindicated. What does he do? Stay where the word amen cuts every devil. Yes, it does. What is it? the ministering spirit sent from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word that stay with the word, and he confirms the word with signs following, brings Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice he's not saying Jesus is the same yesterday and forever because of healings and all. He tells you because of this he's the same. He uses prophets. And he manifests and operates in a certain way. And that's what the people cannot take. Now, I believe this church is 100% sold on Hebrews 13 and 8. I believe you've gotten that. I know I've gotten it. And if I've got it, you've got it. Because like father, like son. The spirit of the preacher gets on the people. If I have respect, you have respect. If I don't have respect, you won't have it. And then you better get away from me. Let's think of these ones that came down to anoint the prophet. Seven of them. Seven manifestations of the Holy Ghost came into William Branham's room one day at a time and opened every single seal. Gave the truth that you and I need. Not just angels from the presence of God, but angels and the presence of God. Swept down out there in Arizona. So, Brother Vail, I don't know if I believe it. Well, why do you believe about Sinai then, brother, says you? You're stupid. You don't even know if this Bible's correct. You don't, nobody knows that Moses really wrote it. There's an argument right now. The prophet said he did, that makes it fine to me. Well, just a minute, how'd that last chapter get in here about Moses? Well, is it maybe somebody wrote it under inspiration? What's the difference? Where was Mark with Jesus? But he wrote under inspiration. Where was Luke? He wrote under inspiration. What inspiration? He talked to people, and the Holy Ghost witnessed what was right, and he put it down in the right places. It's a scribe. Nothing to it when you're dealing with God. The whole world is just a little drop of sand in God's eye, a drop in a bucket. He said, and on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as dust in the balances. Not even real dust, a little bit of, you know, flaky stuff. You know, I'm not trying to make man nothing. I'm just trying to show you how big God is. That's all. See? Certainly. Those angels came in 1963. The ministering spirit sent from the presence of God, and this time in the presence of God, with the presence of God, to anoint William Branham. And he stayed with the word, and God continually confirmed the word with signs following, making Jesus Christ his message and forever, because it's in the groove that God Almighty had there. Now, how could we doubt when he's been proven scientifically, materially, spiritually, every way that can be proved, he's proved to be here. Now, let me go back. Now listen carefully what I'm going to say again. The angel of the Lord, even his picture up there, when raising the dead, is sufficient within itself. And to me, I didn't need, said William Branham, the actual creation of squirrels. Fact of the matter is, when he said, what do you want? I told him. And he said, how many do you want? And I told him. And he said, where do you want them? And I was on the spot. He dragged it out of me, how many I wanted, and where I wanted them. And I got them. Now he said, that confirmed to me, over and above, every single thing I could expect or want and expect. Now he said, you've seen in my meetings the irrefutable proof, because it cannot be doubted that this is genuine unless you want to put it to the wrong source and then you die. You know that this to you, which I don't have to have, that was a vindication. I've seen it many times. That's what he says. He said that now you ought to know there's something really going on that's in every dimension been proving. What do you want? Okay? Now look, in other words, brother, sister, you and I have come to the place of no return if indeed we come to the place of no return, because this is where God stops. Right. Now you want what you want. Say, well, I want it my way. Go ahead, tell me what you want, and I'll laugh at you and find you right in the gospel. Because you'd be the kind of people who say, as Brother Branham so carefully pointed out to us, oh, let me tell you, if I had been back there, I would not have done so and so. And he said, you lied because you're the very ones that would have done it. Because now you see him here. Amen. And you know he's here. Right. And you're ready to crucify him right now and kill his prophets. Right. Now, William Branham is right, because the Pharisees said, oh, we wouldn't have done it. He said, you're the ones that did it, in the loins of your fathers. I ask you a question. Exactly how do you place yourself in the Gospels? Would you be one of those, knowing what you know today, run up and say, I'd sure been able to pick out Jesus, hallelujah. Hogwash, you're a bigger liar than the devil himself. In fact, you ought to take lessons from you.
Amen.
I don't mean that quite as bad as it sounds. But I'm hard, and I admit I'm hard, because listen, this is the truth, brother, sister. Those people said, all right, Moses we know. And the same people say, Jesus we know. If this is honest to God, the Holy Ghost, your kind of glory there. And that is honest to God, what we're talking about. And this ministry was honest to God from God. And where do you stand if you don't see it and turn it down? You say you'd have believed that one back there? You're finished. You're sunk. Hebrews 13, it doesn't mean anything to you. Now, I hope we're getting very, very calm in our hearts and very sincere, because I don't feel we are yet. I know I'm not. I make the strongest case as I possibly can for this, because I'm going on from this case. Very necessary to understand this. Ministering angels. Believe angels really came down? Do you believe one of those angels was Luther's? Now, this is the counterpart. Now, this is not Luther. People say Luther came. I don't believe it 1 minute. Brother Ben doesn't say that. These are from the before the throne of God in the book of Revelation. The seven eyes, the seven spirits of God. Now, God does not have in this seven distinct spirits. Any more than he's got seven words. What he's got is one complete word, and there's a division. It manifests a certain time. Now, the first manifestation of the Holy Ghost was an angel that came down and talked to Paul's day. That was Pauline. The next was Irenaeus, and right down the line. Now, Brother Branham said, oh, what a mistake. Now, first of all, yes, he said, oh, what a mistake I would have made. He said, I would have preached wrong, but he said, the Holy Ghost swept into the room and told me right. Can you believe that?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Brother Branham invited me cordially and pressed me to come and stay with him as the seals would be open. He said, Lee, nobody's home except me. I got a bedroom. You got a bedroom. Got a bathroom. Everything's fine. He said, I want you to come. You will come. I said, thank you. When the day came to come, I went to my brother Branham's house, and I said, no way can I come. I feel I cannot come. I wasn't allowed to come. Same, I couldn't get away from going to see Sister Branham 2 weeks before she died. I could not go to Brother Branham. And he said, nobody came near the house for that solid week. All right, can we believe in that room with the lights, the blinds down, but remember, the room was not darkened. This is not spiritism. This is God. The lights were on full blast. An angel swept into that room. I said, no, that is not what it says. This is what it says and why it says it. At the end of the service on the seventh and the last night, he said, Charlie, did you get what was happening in you people? He said, it was them angels. Or those angels, a little better English. What was it? Holy Spirit? Angels. A form. The Holy Spirit taking on a form. The God who becomes. Now, can you understand and receive that? Can you stay with what the prophet said? Now, we're looking at these things. Now, watch carefully. The ministering spirit is the presence of God. Now, watch. To anoint the speakers of the word that stays with the word. And he confirms the word with signs following. Now, this is what I want you to look at. Now, listen. Ministering spirits from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word that stay with the word. And he confirms the word with signs following. You say, that's Brother Branham and Irenaeus and the rest. It is not. It is not just Brother Branham, because notice he said, stays with the word. You hear what I said? I'm very careful. Let's turn to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. verses 1 to 4 is an interpolation. It doesn't belong there. If you'll notice, it says in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation, that Brother Branham used? Then skip down to verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Those four verses in there don't belong in there. But they do belong in there. But they're not part of the text. But they're everything to do with the text. Angels, created beings, messengers, prophets, men of God. Now watch, he's speaking of angels, he's speaking of Christ, the great angel of God. Angel of God, messenger of God, star means one thing. God comes down himself and manifests and brings his own word. Okay. We're talking about the one who now came down and took upon himself a body that was made as a temple. Now, watch what he says. Because of angels. And what God said about them. And prophets are angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Let us sink in. Earnest heat. More earnest than any time in your life. More devastating to your nervous system, if you're in the world, but more calming and beneficial, uplifting, and securing, if you can grasp it. Alright, angels from heaven brought messages. They were sent down. I am Gabriel, said he to Daniel. This is, I'm Jesus Christ, I'm Gabriel. Special one to the Israelites. Came down. Now watch. Talking to Jesus. We ought to get more astute to the things which we have heard. Now just a minute. This is said to people who are getting something secondhand. They never heard Jesus. Never heard him at all. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, one came down and visited the parents of Samson, others came down to the times, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, an angel met a prophet and said, now don't you dare eat in that place. Another so-called prophet conned him out of it, and he ate there. And he got killed for it, because God said, you can't do it. Received a just recompense or reward. Now listen. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now you got a third person involved here. Number one, you have the Lord. Far greater than angels. Although he is an angel in his own right. The messenger of the covenant. Alright? Now you've got those who are in direct confrontation with him. Right?
Right.
Now, you've got the third group that's in confrontation with those who had the confrontation. Right? True? Alright. Now listen. God bearing them witness. Both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. All right, watch the sequence there. You got God Almighty, his own messenger. Christ in the form of a human being. You have those who are in direct confrontation with him. And notice their anointing. Now, take what Brother Branham said here.
The ministering spirits that sent from the presence of God to anoint the speakers of the word, that stay with the word, and he confirms the word with signs following. Now what I'm trying to bring you here, and I know you're listening carefully, and you can't guess what I'm trying to bring you because I haven't brought it far enough. What I'm trying to tell you is this. They heard this one speak. They saw what he did. They were sold on it. To whom shall we go? God backed them up because they stayed with the word.
Amen.
Now, my question is this. Is God obligated, according to what Brother Branham said, to back me up when I stay with that word?
Amen.
Now, just a minute. Let's find out for sure. You said wisely. Because it's the truth. We're going to go to 1 John. We're going to read. Beginning of the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Confrontation. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. Now, life cannot be manifested so you can see it. It's like an electric spark. Electric current. It's like the air. You simply can't see it. You simply cannot see it, period. Evidence of life is some kind of a movement, a disposition, a literal confrontation. If there's life in a little seed, the confrontation is simply put it between blotting paper, pour a little water on it, put it in the sun, and let's see.
Amen.
Confrontation. Now, John speaking. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. When anybody brings this word that Brother Branham brought from God, based on the same miracle ministry, because it was a parallel ministry of Jesus Christ, the ministry, the return ministry of Christ on this earth. Anybody, he had the miracles, he had the signs and the wonders to vindicate. Now, out there, there's a bunch of people that are false anointed. They got all kinds of signs and wonders. You know the trouble with this bunch of people, listen to this message? They're not sold what I'm talking about. They're not sold on this message to know that our fellowship is with the same one the prophet had fellowship with, and the same signs can and will follow if you believe this. There's only one hindrance, is unbelief or sin, physical sin in your life.
Amen.
You've got that out of your life, there's only one thing left, and that's the big sink. The other is just a manifestation. There's an unbelief somewhere in what the prophet brought us. And I'm not talking of conduct now. Because Brother Branham said it is not fruit, it is not gifts, it is not power. It's about five different things. One was prayer. He said if God ever sends His power back in the church, it will not be by obedience. That's right.
Amen.
He said it will be by grace. And that's what we're looking at. It's a grace proposition. And grace proposition is this. The promise is given to us by grace, and it's faith that brings it in. So therefore, by grace, God said, I won't wipe out this generation. I will bring them to the place where I can get them out of here safely, into the fold, as I promised. They shall not all sleep. Will not all die, but they're going to be changed. Now he said, I'm going to do that by grace, and it is by grace, because the word has already said, it's appointed unto man once to die, and even though you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, according to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, you will still die, because the body is dead because of sin.
Right.
Now there's got to come a time where grace enters in to get us back to the tree in the garden. Now, can you accept those conditions of Eden? Can you accept Him coming down, the judge? There it is, picture. Can you accept this? Can you accept that word? Can you accept the judge's word? Can you accept that you're free? Can you accept all of these things? Now, if you accept them, you are with Brother Branham. And his fellowship was with God and is with God, or we are flat stupid being here this morning. Except, as I said, I'm making a lot of money off you. Keep coming. I'm honest, you see. I'll tell you right in the pulpit. I am not going to duck and fool around. and I will never brutalize you. It's all in the open. I hit hard because I want our minds to get up out of the stupidity and inanity of what we're into. And to get rid of these things, to bring every high thing, which is the highest part, is the peak of our head. To get the minds under control to the eye. Now John said, I have handled, I know these things. I've got a fellowship, and all I've got to do is tell you. And if you believe it, you've got what I got. It doesn't make us apostles. It doesn't make us prophets. It makes us in the same status of fellowship and wonderment and the glory of Almighty God as the prophet was. Brother Branham told Hickerson, told him categorically, he said, Hick, I'm up here now. You're down here. But he said, when I leave the scene, you'll be up there. If that isn't the truth, and we can't see it from these messages we're getting unfolded by the Spirit of God, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's time to get our disbelief out of our hair.
Amen.
And out of our minds, any place where it is, out of our eyes. It's time to get it out and say, I stand on this. They say, well, then, you're standing on, not on faith in God. Oh, my God, have pity. Fundamentalism is of the devil, 99%. They wouldn't know God if they met him in their porridge, as an old Scotchman said, because they don't know God there. Oh, that's the devil. The devil can do it. Oh, the devil can do anything. Why bother with God? Let's sell out to the devil. I can understand for the first time by inspiration why the devil, after the great white throne, is going to gather all the armies of the earth and come against God. You know why? Because they're so stupid. They make the devil everything and God nothing, and they'll do it that day too. Thank you for the answer, Lord. I got it for the first time. And that is the answer. That is the answer. Because they leave here without a change over there. Everything is the devil. Nothing is God. Their God can't do anything. We fussed and fumed a lot in this pulpit, and a lot of people do about the Roman Catholic Church. Let me tell you this. They're gonna walk away as saints on the judgment day against the Church of Christ. Because at least the Roman Catholics have enough sense to believe that they could stand in the presence of an idol, or an image of a saint, hoping for something, and they get it. The Church of Christ can't even go that far.
Amen.
Death, brothers, sisters, everywhere. Now, this message is very crucial for this church, whether you know it or not. Because for the first time, I have looked to why Brother Branham said, "Mate, take this message for your healing." How can I pray for this people? I told you time and time again, if I wanted to wump myself up, I could no doubt do some wumping up on it. No doubt I could talk myself into a place of dynamic faith. I don't have to anymore. I believe this message. If you believe it like I do, when hands are laid on you, I'll pray for you. You say, "Oh, Brother Bill, you're sick yourself." Jesus was dying when he prayed for dying man. Elisha was already dead, and he died from a sickness, and a man fell upon his bones, a dead man. He rose up right away.
Amen.
I'd rise up too if I get in contact with somebody like that. Smith Wigglesworth had terrible kidney stones, prayed for multitudes, went home and soaked in a tub of hot water. While the multitudes got healed, he waited his turn. Did Brother Branham ever get healed? What about the Apostle Paul? He had bad eyes. He couldn't even read. Hardly. Large letters he wrote. No, brother, sister, if you want your sensitivity, you say, "Well, I think, Brother Bale, if you were really 100% normal and sound in your body, you'd be a real candidate to pray for us." You're dead, brother, sister. Don't even come near me.
Praise God.
Don't bother. You're right back to your senses. You're judging the Word of God. You're not believing the Word of God. You're a judge of the Word. And I don't mean you as I'm throwing off on you. I'm just using you as a principle. I'm talking to myself, too. What has that got to do with it? It's patently set forth, or I don't know what I'm talking about here, that the Word of God distinctly says, we heard him, we were with him. And Paul says the same thing in interpolating it. Right in there where it wouldn't belong normally. Except see what your benefit you're going to get when this happened. Look at the ministry. You, by believing this, become the candidate or the recipient what you might call the potential recipient of every single thing that Brother Branham demonstrated, not in discerning, no, 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 but in healing. Showing us, as he said here, anoints the speakers of the word to stay with the word. That's us in this message. And I count myself a candidate right in there. And he confirms the word of signs following. Now, brings Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, day, and forever. There he is. Now, Brother Branham said the complete Hebrews 13 and 8, in my understanding, what John says and what Paul says, is this church standing with the word of God. 100%. So that Mark 16 can become effective. Now, you know something? There's no big hip-a-raw here in a big hurry. There's nobody screaming, abundantly rejoicing. That doesn't bother me at all. You know why? Because he said, get away from those sensations entirely. If you're looking for a sensation what I preached this morning, you've missed it. And you're going to keep missing it. So will I keep missing it. It's not a thing to do with the sensation. It's to do with the sensational.
Amen.
And it's already taken place. Are we going to try to trump his ace, my brother, sister? Are we going to put a cap on his climax? Do the sheep come by and say, Shepherd, let me tell you, oh great shepherd, you're a fine fella, but I'll tell you, I can put out a better meal for a sheep than you do.
Bless him.
And the shepherd would say, do I hear oink oink instead of ba ba?
Amen, brother.
Or arf arf. I'm not talking to me now. I'm talking about what he laid before us. Don't try to cap his climax, trump his ace. Don't try to do that. Never try to out prophet the prophet, out God God, out word the word, out preach the preacher, out deep the deacon. Never try to do those things, brother. You'll miss it. It's mine. Mine. Boy, we talked about manifesting this morning. I just say this about it. Whatever was manifested, start putting your eyes on it. And start looking and looking and looking and thinking and thinking and thinking. Pro thoughts now, pro. Not anti. Until something begins to happen. Now, Brother Branham took his own life and he looked at this. And he looked at this and looked at all the miracles and things happened, all the great, thus saith the Lord. And he came to where I call the theorem principle. It was proven once and for all that William Branham, with only a grade school education, would stand before kings and princes, and he did because I saw letters. What are you going to do about that? Oh, I know somebody destroyed him, but you can't destroy me for the time being. I tell you, I saw letters. I saw the letter from De Courcy also. De Courcy wanted to use Brother Branham because he was in secret negotiations and kind of a spy in the Christian circles and things, and he wanted Brother Branham to use his gift to look beyond the Iron Curtain. So Brother Branham looked beyond the Purple Curtain.
Praise God.
What are people worried about communists for? There's no worry about the communists. Absolutely no worry about them, brother, sister.
Right.
We're causing the headaches.
That's right.
Sin lies within us like Israel. 3 times a year, the great feast, every male went up to Jerusalem. Every male.
Amen.
Not one time in history did anybody ever invade Israel.
That's right.
Not one time. Worry about the commies. It's in your heart. Get rid of all your doctrines and knowledge the best you can. Get rid of it. Help God help. Focus in on it. As Brother Branham did with the theorem principle, when he knew it worked, never a time it didn't work. Take the Pythagorean theorem of the squares on the two sides of the hypotenuse. Tell me one time it'll fail. If the angles are right, it will never fail. Now, if you want to bend the lines, well, you better get a cartographer and a few mathematicians, and good in calculus. They can figure that too. But I'm telling you, they'll never work out a formula where it comes right every single time. Because every line's going to be different. But you get the square, and you get that hypotenuse, it'll always be the square of the sum of the squares. Never change. Now, what you're looking at, brother, sister, was more than a, bear with me and understand what I'm trying to get across to you. If we will fix our minds as the prophet mind was fixed, we have proved the theorem. And once you prove the theorem, all you do is apply it. Now, how can you apply a miracle ministry? You can't!
Right.
How can you apply a ministry, a spoken word? You can't! Because you can't speak, you're not entitled to it. Then what do? You say, hey, this is what works. John said, I had fellowship. I was with him when he wasn't a pillar of fire. Now, I handled and I felt and we ate and we slept. Now, I'm going to tell you, and you got just what I got. Fellowship. Now, Brother Branham said, look, I talked to the pillar of fire time after time. He talked to me. Never a miss. It's a tiny baby. Every vision, every dream, everything, 100%. No way. Every vision, every word. I said, listen, he said, I tell you what. Now you listen to me. And when you do, you come right up into the same fellowship. And he added, like Paul, manifestation. This church need not look for one more tremor. God help us, I'm sincere. One more sensation, and God help us, I am sincere, because look, I came out of Pentecost. Some of you folk, I don't know what you came out of, but you didn't have that much emotion. But what you did have was some miserably messed up, and maybe it's worse than Pentecost, because Pentecost was the cream, so where does that leave you? Skim milk or something? I don't know. I was just being honest, the prophet said something.
Amen.
Don't believe anybody. But look at the emotions, the intellects have got to go and the mind become the focal point. I believe this message. Therefore, in my entitlement, there is fellowship and there is healing. See? The church put him out. We let him back in. He sups with me. He dines with me. He is in our midst. The kingdom of God is here. The Eden condition. The Eden condition at the fall is right back here. Here is Satan. Here is the tree of life. Here are the fallen people. Here's your serpent seed bunch over here, the whole bit. Here's these poor lambs. Poor these virgins standing, everything. They're in the loins of Adam at that time, see? Here they are. And now, he said, you cannot come to the tree of life. I backed away. Then the tree of life came down and they cut him down.
That's right.
To shed the blood. This time the tree of life is down. You can't cut him down.
Amen.
And he's not going to get away without us.
Right.
Now when you begin to see Hebrews 13 and 8, you begin to see Mark 16. Now, when Brother Vail prays for you, if he does, which I will, I'm not at all concerned which way it goes anymore. I'm not worried about healing in the sense I've got to feel something. I can understand for the first time, Brother Bannon just prayed there. Oh, God, this man's got it. Let him smite it. Let him give another shot, one guy said. Let him do this. Let him, oh, something, 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 Lord. And Brother Bannon, humbly.
Amen.
Oh, boy. That man's got no pizzazz at all. No spiritual pizzazz. I'd make it interesting. I really didn't think that, but you know what I mean. It was there. I'm wondering. Not anymore. Look, I can't. I cannot be any way than what I'm saying now. And I've got to gear myself down. Because I don't just psych myself up. No more psyching up. Sitting down and say, God, no arguing. Just pray for the sick, that's all. Because my fellowship is with the Father, with the Son. Hebrews 13 and 8 is here. Mark 16. Now listen. What time we got? Good, that's all we need. I'm going to close up. How could we doubt when he's been proven scientifically, spiritually, every way proven materially, proved to be here? What's the matter? Now listen. It's in our minds. Now watch very carefully, please. I want your attention. We open our minds to things and say, well, I don't know whether it could be or not. Maybe if I feel better tomorrow. Now, you didn't catch it. I'm going to explain it to you. What is the first thing? Well, I don't know whether it could be or not. I don't know whether it could be or not. Therefore, tomorrow morning, you say, I wonder if I'm feeling better. Did you catch it?
Yeah.
What do you do with this? You hear what I'm saying? What you and I do with this will determine what we do with Mark 16. If you cannot take Hebrews 13 and 8, you won't have much hope with Mark 16. The right way. Now, if you scream and jump up and down and work emotions into faith, you'll get it, but it's the wrong way to do it. If you miss this and insist you can miss it and still go forward, it proves you're false anointed and you'll get it. And God said, you'll get a lean soul.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what John said. He said, my brethren, I pray and wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. How is your souls this morning? Are they custodians of the grace and goodness of God? It's up to you and me, brother and sister. I'm a very poor example, but I'm honest. You can be honest. The veil does not hide the truth from you. You may be drinking champagne out of an old rubber boot, brother and sister, but it's still the wine of God. I'm not lying to you. I'm not here as an example either. I'm just giving you the truth. We're both on the road today, brothers. So what's it going to be? Sensations? Or can we really believe it? I've had a terrible job. I'm going to be honest with you because I'm not a liar. God knows my heart anyway. And my heart speaks louder than heaven, my words. How many of you ever had trouble about the creation of squirrels? Can you really take it? It's a hard one. First of all, why is the need of it? Because the guy was hungry. That's Elijah. Elijah wanted meat. Brother Branham wanted meat. So the ravens came by and dropped him something. Brother Branham wanted squirrels. He said, well, I think maybe God could do so and so and so and so. Well, it's not too hard if you really believe that life is life and God can put meat and bones on life. I said, we're in a pretty nice sticky subject right now. About creation of squirrels. Let's be honest with yourselves. Now, you can smug and say, well, I have the idea. You're like Bernard Bruce in economics. You say, well, you economists know such, why aren't you rich? If I got a church that knows all the answers, you got it down pat. I'm not saying you don't, but I just doubt it. Why are they sick amongst us?
That's right. Yeah.
Why have I got troubles? Well, I can tell you the answer, and it's not really a true answer that I stuck you on right there. The true answer in the Spirit of Christ comes more and more into church. That real, true spirit of sweetness and love of Christ. Come a time when there won't be one sick amongst us. That's where you got to calm ourselves more and more, though we take a hard tack against certain things. And I will, brother, sister. If you're offended, I'm sorry for you. I love you just the same. I get offended too, but I got to come around. My wife and I, we offend each other. We come around in a pretty short time. We're getting more and more used to it. I look at her and think she's cuter than ever. How could anybody her age be that cute? I think she's pretty than anybody. I said a long time ago she'd have to quit going to weddings. She looks so pretty. Bright doesn't look like plugged beans anymore. Well, it's in the eye of the beholder. You know? But see, that's what you get with living each other and looking at each other. We see each other almost 20 hours out of the day. Almost. I see about 4 hours, don't I? We look at each other almost 16 hours a day. You know, that's a long time to look at each other. You start putting that into weeks and months and years. Wow. And you still look good to each other. You've got to be nuts or you are in love. What are the two? Well, I'm trying to show you something. Spiritually speaking, it's the truth. We haven't come to the place of a true orientation and a melding and a molding together. We have looked at it so supernatural, we have pushed it aside and said, hey, I am a part of that. That's for me. That's mine. I'm in this thing. And Mark 16 is for me, as well as Hebrews 8. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that, to the best of our knowledge, we haven't said anything wrong. If I'm wrong in one point, Lord, I'm sorry. But I cannot believe that for 1 minute Brother Branham was speaking only of prophets and himself when he said those that stay with the Word, because we're here staying with the Word and we're not trying to be prophets. We are trying to fill a place, Lord, where you said you send them prophets and wise men and scribes. We could be wise men, handle the Word of God, and scribes that simply write it down or just give it word by word, whatever. We know that's true, Father. So we place ourselves in this ministry here with you, Lord, and what is on tap, as we say, to speaks in our little kind of carnal way. Believing in our hearts, Lord, that if we just can stay with this Word now, and get our minds and our lives really believing, which we have the power to do it because we have faith in us put there by the Holy Ghost, and we have knowledge put there by the Holy Ghost, and we have also, Lord, temperance and brotherly kindness and these things here, plus climaxed and capped by love, that surely, Lord, that the people, and we can all come to the place where simple prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, laying on of hands, will do the work. There will be those things amongst us, and we don't have to struggle and strive. All we've got to do, Lord, is to believe and to confess our sins. If we've got sins, which no doubt every one of us has something that we're into, we shouldn't be into, to just lay this on the counter, Lord, on the altar. And your blood cleanses us now, because that's what it says in Hebrews, right there. And this one speaking in heaven, Lord, we're here. We are right here, Lord. Now, God, help us to just let that sink in and realize the presence, and realize the time, Lord, that we're in. This is that hour for it. Just the same as it was with John. There's no difference, not at all. Not a bit of difference. In fact, it's bigger than ever, because you said there'd be the one doing greater than you'd done. And we believe that's been here. So here we are, Lord. We don't need to talk any more in prayer. We just need to say, Father, here we stand by your grace and by your word. And whatever happens, Lord, we're not looking at it any longer. Something we've got to believe for, as though we got to make it happen. We just believe, Lord, that you said to do this, and there would be that which would happen. And I believe, Lord, it would happen according to our acceptance of what we have heard the prophet say, what his principle, based on his theorem, brought about, knowing just as he stood there and said, this is that third pull, and I'm going to do it for you. And, Lord, you know my heart. What I'm trying to say is, you're going to do it, Lord, or it's not going to be done, and the people are going to be in that receiving position, and their sins out of the way, it'll be done. I know that's the only condition. So, Father, we're not only able to pray for the sick, we're willing to pray for the sick from this time on the premise that we've seen laid down here, because we believe this is what your prophet was saying. You take this message for your healing, and we believe we see where it came from and what it is about. So, Father, help us from this moment on to lay every sense aside. God grant it this morning. Please, Lord, circumcise us to the extent that we're laid those senses aside from now on and evermore, and just stand with this word, the great principle of the great theorem, Hebrews 13:8. We saw it done. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time. Now we got a few minutes. Anyone needs prayer this morning, I'm happy to pray for you. You know how I'm going to pray. We don't work up one thing, we just believe God's word. If you're prepared, I'm happy to pray for you. If you want to come, you come now. It's up to you. And there's nothing much to it. I said, look, there's that thing, the sin is out of your life, that's all. I believe we understand that. And we understand my prayer is just simply lined up, God, I'm going to do what you said, that's all. I'm not going to try to believe hard, I'm not going to try to do one thing. And I don't want you either. Says God bears witness. So you got about one half a minute to go, and then when I start praying, that's the end, because I don't want to be interrupted. Okay, Bill Rigg, Brother Graham, you come up here and pray with me, and be glad to have you come pray with me. Is Bill? Yeah, he's there. Come on, Bill. Said they lay hands upon the sick. That means at least two people. All right. Heart condition. Heavenly Father, Sister Mary comes to you with a heart condition. Lord, we know that
Your scripture says that you made the eye to see, you made the heart weaker. I brought it in Jesus' name, laying hands on her. We ask you now that we move the heart condition from her heart, and the heart fell right down. In the name of Jesus Christ, that saves. Amen. Sign of trouble, Heavenly Father, we know that you've also healed Sinus. You've done so many times. We know the prophet in marvelous cases. Lord God, as you lay hands on our brother, are you feeding what service? It's according to the fact that you spake of this word. We believe in Jesus' name, Lord, that you take away the sign of trouble. So shall it be.